KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show, and can you believe this? It seems like the pandemic started, well, just about 20 years ago, and we've been living inside, but tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We've gone through the spring together, right? We went through the summer together. We went through a little bit of fall together, and now we're into Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, which I call the NBZ, the no breakup zone. You can't break up with somebody between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Yeah, they're in your bubble.
Right. You come off, even in a regular year, you come off like a huge a-hole.
That's true.
Right?
Well,
like 2 weeks before Christmas, you're like, I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah. You know, they call this season cuffing season.
Cuffing?
Have you ever heard that term before?
No.
Cuffing season means that around the holidays, that's when, women start going, engagement ring. So a lot of people end up getting engaged around the holidays and they call it cuffing season.
Oh, that's great. I'd never heard of that before. That's fantastic. That's something guys don't do. Well, yeah. Maybe guys do it, right? You know, hey, leave me alone. I'm watching TV. Just trying to watch the latest PM before the turkey. Never really good at those. All right, let's get Angel Martinez in. This is her Super Bowl. It's the day before Thanksgiving, which is notorious for the worst traffic in all of Southern California. But Angel, it doesn't look horrible out there. Or am I just seeing things?
No, I don't think you're just seeing things. I think that the volume of traffic was definitely more dense and heavier earlier today. And we even saw some pretty slow traffic yesterday as well that went later into the evening. So I think everybody kind of got off to an early start today. And that's why we're seeing these, thinner delays or less volume out on the freeways currently.
Right. Here's what's shocking to me. If you're southbound 405 and you pass LAX, and then you got a little bit between, Torrance, you got a little slowing there. But, man, it's almost wide open after you pass Long Beach, the 710 freeway. It looks wide open practically, to San Diego if you take the 73.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that is a little nutty.
Check out that Cajon Pass. The 15 northbound.
Ooh,
if you're heading
good
into the high desert or to the state line, you've got to go through the Cajon Pass.
Yeah.
And that has been a nightmare all day long.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's backed up practically to the 210 on the 15. Then the 215 is open. You know, if you could take the 210 east and then take the 215 north, you're driving 10 or 50 miles out of your way, but at least you're moving.
Yeah, I like that move.
Yeah, they can join up, later. I'd rather be driving 60 miles an hour and go 10, 15 miles out of my way than sit there in traffic. I hate it. But it looks like the 10 from, in Santa Monica is open for some reason. I don't get that at all. Between the 405 and the ocean, both ways on the 10 is open.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just
odd.
Weird, especially for, the Thursday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Usually it's jam-packed eastbound on the 10 getting out of the McClure Tunnel.
Right.
All the way across the 10, all the way into Redlands.
Yeah, but traffic going out the 14 to get out of Palmdale, Lancaster out there is a little rough. You got right at Santa Clarita and right where it splits the 5 and the 14 split. You got a couple miles of traffic there. And then you have right outside of Acton and Agua Dulce is a mess.
Yeah, it's been jamming up right there lately. I've noticed that trend, Timmy.
Yeah, I know.
Heading out of Agua Dulce into Acton, kind of slow. And then it opens up and no problems beyond into the Palmdale area. But you know what? We got a new crash in a tough spot, the 91 eastbound in Anaheim Hills.
Ooh.
So, it's something you never want to get stuck in traffic here. But check it out on that 91 eastbound. You'll see just...
Near the 241 or before then?
Yeah, right before the 241, right there.
I see. Right, yeah. I'm looking at that. Right. That's why
the crash is just 91 East, just past Imperial Highway. So that's why it's just a huge mess right now.
Yeah, this is where it pays to spend 90 cents on the toll road and slide by.
That's right. Yeah. Unless the crash is in the toll roads. But this
that's
one
right.
is not.
But look at this, Angel. I mean, this is remarkable. And again, we're talking about traffic because there's a lot of people in it right now. But if you look at the 5 freeway And typically on the 5 freeway, it's always jammed both ways from downtown all the way to Orange County. But if you look southbound on, you know, from basically around the where the 605 starts, or the 605 crosses the 5 freeway. But the 605 crosses the 5 freeway there, and that's always jammed. But southbound is wide open until you get, I mean, literally there's no traffic until you get down to Laguna Woods.
Yeah, that's weird. It's odd. Never like that.
It's
yeah.
never like that. Not on weekends, weekdays, night times. Mm-mm. It's never that open. Something's
especially
going on.
Past the 605, because you've got those construction zones, you know,
that's
where
right.
you've got those kind of like windy areas and the yep. K rails are up, and it's always jammed through that stretch.
Right. And what people hate is when they're driving southbound on the 5 and they pass the 605 and they look to their left and there's a pavement there. You can put 7 lanes in there and there's nothing going on.
Yeah, nothing.
It's
nothing.
There's
a whole other freeway right there.
That's right. And for I understand, I actually made a call to Caltrans about that. I said, when is that going to open up? And they said it's not. They're reserving that area for a church carnival every year around June. Isn't that strange? Well,
that is strange.
Yeah.
There's a freeway carnival, huh?
Yep. Ding dong with them. All right. So downtown L.A. looks like a mess. And again, we're doing this because it is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And this is always the worst traffic day of the year. But downtown looks a little bit of a mess. And southbound 101 approaching downtown looks bad, too. But look, if you leave downtown and you're going north on the 101, you don't hit traffic until you're almost in the pass.
That's true. Wow.
That's crazy, right?
Unheard of.
Has that ever happened before?
But check out, if you zoom in along Dodger Stadium, you can see right. that people are still lined up to get their COVID tests.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, Stadium Way to Scott Avenue. That's the line heading into, get your brain prodded.
I see. Okay. All right. So that's what all the traffic is there. Ah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah
that didn't make sense, but now it does. Yeah. Wow. That's really backed up there.
Oh,
that's,
mm-hmm.
that's right onto the freeway on the 110 freeway. That's crazy. All right. Angel Martinez, thank you. That's, you got to be a little bummed that there's not more traffic, you know, because this is where you shine. The day before Thanksgiving is your Super Bowl.
I know. You know, I've been stretching and working out for this day and just doing all the conditioning I can to be ready for it. And I'm a little let down, Tim.
I know. They take it away from you. Sons of.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, we're live on KFI. By the way, we have a really cool program set for you tonight. We've got Mr. Mo Kelly coming in. That's cool, right? And we're not coming in, calling on the phone. And then we also have Neil Saavedra. He'll be coming on with us. And Alex Stone is on at 7 o'clock. And he's got a pretty cool story about a SoCal guy that created this empire, and it's in high demand. And it's the world of aviation, like old planes and repurposing them. So it's pretty cool. So we'll talk to those three chaps tonight, right here on the KFI, the big talker in Los Angeles. We're live on KFI the day before Thanksgiving. Happy pre-Thanksgiving, everybody, from our family to yours. KFI AM 640, it's the Conway Show. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And we had some traditions around the house. I don't know if Angel, Bellio, Gina, and Mondo, if you had any, but I'll go first since you asked. My dad and I used to wake up early on Thanksgiving, and we would drive to Hollywood Park, and the races started early, I think 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'd drive to Hollywood Park, stand in line with all the other, you know, homeless guys, and have a beautiful turkey dinner, which was free. When you pay entry to get into Hollywood Park, they give you a ticket. And that little ticket is good for one meal. And you stand in line with, other guys who are down and out. And you get to the front of it, and there's a hand-carved turkey, beautiful mashed potatoes, green beans, stuffing, a roll, and it was a sweet dinner. It was unbelievable. Then we'd, gamble and bet on the races till about noon, 1 o'clock, and then go back to his house where he usually had, family members over, and we'd have another Thanksgiving dinner, which was cool, right? But now there's no Hollywood Park. Hollywood Park is gone. It's now where SoFi Stadium is, right? Did you have any traditions, Gina, or Mondo? Or,
yeah.
I know Mondo. I asked Mondo during the break, and he said no.
Oh, good.
Right? But I think we had a discussion earlier this week or last week. You know, if you're in improv class, the first thing they do is they teach you, before you sit down, please don't say no.
Oh, I got one. Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Do it again. Ask me.
So, Mondo, who's our producer slash board op, you got any, like, holiday traditions, Thanksgiving style?
Yeah, on Thanksgiving, we always ate turkey. As
the
a
groundlings are not going to help this. There's no way. The groundlings might turn you down. Be like the first guy ever to just say, you know what? I think we'll pass. Although I gotta be honest. You had the best line of the week, and people are still laughing about the dinner and a show. I heard my wife laugh in the other room, and she's a really tough sell. She's a really hard sell. She doesn't just laugh or fake laugh at anything, and she busted up when you said, you know, the guys were taking their clothes off in front of the old women at a bakery. It was a dinner and a show.
Oh, thank you.
That was great, buddy. Angel, any traditions?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. The tradition is that this is when my grandma was around. So it was kind of fun because grandma would always make the gravy and make it from the juices from the turkey. And it was like this, you know, like a big thing.
Right. Yeah, anyone who can make really good gravy is worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, so it was that, and then also the pies that she would make. I mean, those are the things that we would always just really look forward to, aside from, you know, the company of one another, all the yummy things that grandma would make. So that was kind of fun.
I hope you got the recipes, though. I hope grandma didn't take them with her.
Yeah, I got the recipes, I suppose. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Bellio, any like Denver style Colorado traditions?
Vicks.
All right. You had Vicks cough drops? You rubbed Vicks on each other?
Vicks. Just Vicks.
Like a restaurant called Vicks? I don't get it.
I didn't think you would. I sent you a super nice email from a listener earlier today who loves the show, loves you, and has an IQ Air. And he just wanted to know, you know, some information on the brand and the name of the humidifier that you use at home.
Right.
And your response, I'm too busy to be bothered, cold dead response, was Vicks. So now you don't like that response?
Okay.
You don't like the Vicks response? It wasn't enough for you? You need more?
That's great.
I was
in the middle of 30 things, and I wanted to respond, but I didn't have time to go into great detail, so I just wrote Vicks, V-I-C-K-S. That's great.
I love Bellio's delivery. She sounds so much like Joe Pesci in what movie was that? Like, what am I, funny? Funny like a clown?
Goodfellas.
That's great. That's awesome, Vicks. Oh, wait, there's traffic. Let's find out where this traffic is. Here,
2021.
They already went left the traffic. All right, Gina, any traditions in your home?
Yeah, well, usually every year the fam comes out to Gina's, the you know, big swinging L.A. kid. And Gina does it up for everyone. That's not happening this year. But this is so sweet and so cute. And I love that this is their thing. So when my fiance was going through his divorce and things were crazy and, you know, it was just hard during the holidays, when he would have the little one on Thanksgiving, just because he doesn't have family here and things, you know, just busy and all kinds of stuff, they would always go sit in the park and eat turkey sandwiches.
Aww.
So even when we've had big to-dos the last couple of years, we make sure that there's time for us to go to the park across the street and eat turkey sandwiches first.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah,
he'll remember that forever.
Yeah, I think so.
That's great.
Vicks.
Yeah, he'll spin that story, though.
What's he going to say?
Yeah, he'll be like, well, my dad, my mom were homeless for a while, and I remember just going to the park and eating turkey in the park.
Right.
All my buddies were, you know.
And then he'll magically forget the spread that stepmama whipped up for him.
Right.
Hours in the kitchen.
That's right. Yeah. It's going to turn into a, yeah, they abused me in the park.
We eat sandwiches in the closet. Hardly.
Right. Well, avoiding the tax man
That's
or something.
Right.
Yeah. Some kind of spin on it. That's classic.
With a chair under the door so the repo man couldn't get in.
Right. You know, around the holidays, my grandmother and grandfather, they were both product of the Great Depression. So they didn't have a lot of dough. And so the week before Christmas, my grandmother would fire the paper boy so she didn't have to lay a tip on him for the holidays.
That is so awful.
And my dad still has it. I got to find it, but it's framed. He kept a note to the paper boy, and all it said was, paper boy, you're fired, Sophia Conway.
No.
That's it. That was a wrap. She didn't mix with, you know, mince words with anybody. She was just,
oh my,
you know,
God.
Here's what we're doing. And then in mid-January, she would hire him again, just to avoid the, you know, the tip that she had to lay on him for the holidays.
Wow. Savvy.
And it was only 25 cents a week to get the paper. I mean, it wasn't like they're going to, you know, they're going to lose, you know, their mortgage or their home. But she was like tight. She was tight with that dough, man.
Oof.
But that's what happens when you live through a depression.
Like they say on the Sopranos, she treated nickels like manhole covers.
That's right. That's exactly right. KFI AM 640, they're doing a tribute to Tim Lin right now on Channel 5. Let's listen to this.
The tree almost rolled over.
He's retiring today.
That attic, it just took off. Oh, sparks. But here he comes. Another intersection. It's on the brakes. And, that spin right into the car. Oh. Boom. Right into opposite traffic. We're going to stay kind of wide. Oh, that was a taser. I'm almost at a loss for words. Now he's just driving on the railroad tracks. He's got to go down underneath. Dude, he's on fire. Yeah, I smell it. It's oil. No, I'm just putting it down an emergency landing just off Highland. I got smoke coming out of the engine.
Wow.
Don't talk to me right now.
Don't talk to me.
The experience level we have to be in the helicopter, it kind of takes away the flying part to where we're doing that just naturally. But the hardest part is putting the product on the air, getting to the story quickly, getting the story on air as fast as we can.
Montage of Tim Lin, great pilot for Channel 5. And now he's going to retire.
What a career. Joining us now, the man who has brought us so many memorable news events through the years, Sky 5 pilot Tim Lin. Tim, the view is always clear when you're at the controls of Sky 5. I don't know how you sum all this up. A career that started in the military, went through law enforcement and into TV news. And what pulls you away but family? Our conversation the other day on the phone, my biggest takeaway, your grandkids.
Yes. Yeah, they're the... I'm going to start choking up again about this. Those grandkids just tear me up. I mean, Caitlin, Kara, and little Ted, now Dawson coming in April, they're the light of my life. My kids had to put up with Dad being gone all the time with my law enforcement career, and then with, you know, being in the news here, always working the night side, not being around for a lot of nighttime things. So it was just time for me to go. It was time for me to enjoy life with my kids and my family while I still have my health. And, you know, this is a working a hard job. I mean, I'm up here 10 and a half hours, work 10 and a half hours a day. Some days I'm up here in the air for 11 hours. I mean, it depends on what the story is, where we're at, what we're doing. And if we get on those big brush fires that run for days, we fly for days. So after a while, you start, you know, weighing those things. And you know, I just decided it was time to hang it up and go enjoy life for a little bit. I thoroughly enjoy flying news after flying in the police department down in Huntington Beach. But it's been a great career. I realized when I walked out of high school, 18 days later, I walked into military boot camp at the United States Coast Guard. And out of that, I stepped right into my 30-year law enforcement career with the Huntington Beach Police Department as well as Culver City Police Department. And then a man named Larry Welk, Jr., he's the one, or Larry Welk III, I'm sorry. Larry Welk offered me a job here in the news, kind of coaxed me out of my cushy government job, brought me up here, and I've been here ever since for the last 16 years. Flying Sky 5 and a couple other the news helicopters here as I worked my way up. But it's been a great time. I've had an enjoyable time working with the family at KTLA. You, Micah, and Cher have just really been a great team to work with. You've always supported me and helped me out in certain situations. Micah, as I said on the phone the other day, you had the innate ability to hear when I was going to start running off the rails with a report, and you dragged me back to the middle as quickly as possible.
Well, Tim, you're remarkable in that you're always prepared. I think that's something that is important in so many walks of life, but frankly, a cornerstone of live television is being prepared. You always knew your stuff, and you know you always understood the dynamics of the situation, and you're able to put it in context. And for that, you know, you're greatly admired, and you'll be greatly missed, my friend.
Well, I'll miss being up here at night with you folks and talking about the things going on here in Los Angeles. It's been a great ride, but, you know, every ride has to come to the end, and mine has. And it was a long, hard decision with the wife and I, but Elizabeth, my wife of 43 years, she's really stuck by me and supported me through this and has really put up with a lot, as well as my adult children. From that, it's just been a great time. I've enjoyed working with you and all the people there at KTLA. You've treated me as part of the team. And luckily, I've had a good partner here with Colton Von Pertz, and I'm hoping he slides in and takes my spot here at Sky 5 as we continue on and I ride off into the sunset.
Well, Tim, we love you. We'll miss you. Stay close. Don't be a stranger, and let's do that dinner when the time is right.
Absolutely. You're on.
Tim Lin in Sky 5. Thank you. Still to come tonight.
All right, there he goes. Tim Lin retiring after 11 years with KTLA. Before that, he was with CBS, KCAL. And then before that, I was with Culver City Police Department and then Huntington Beach Police Department. And before all that, he was in the military. So he literally, since 18 days after high school, he's been working nonstop. I don't know how old he is, but he's been married for 43 years, so he's got to be 60-something, right? And he's been working every single week. You know, maybe take a week off here, there, whatever. But he's never taken, you know, 3, 4, 5 months off. And now he's going to have the ability to go and spend some time with the grandkids while he still has his health. Right? Well, he's not in a wheelchair and not on, you know, attached to any crazy machinery. But that's kind of cool. All right. They're looking at traffic right now on Channel 5. Angel, do we know anything different? Is there anything out there that people should be aware of or warned about?
Well, I think that the worst spot right now is the Cajon Pass. That's the 15 freeway. People have to go through the Cajon Pass if they're heading into the high desert or even to the state line. And that drive is just solid. Leaving Sierra all the way to the 138, it looks like the 215 northbound becoming a little busy on that northbound side. And it's because of a crash just before Palm. So they're getting these guys cleared out of lanes, but traffic is backing up from the 210 freeway. I think, Tim, that that's the worst spot. You know, that earlier crash in Anaheim Hills, 91 eastbound, they've cleared these guys out of lanes, and that's picking up quickly. But the Cajon Pass has just been just a really bad, slow drive all day long, and it continues.
Hey, by the way, you work for is it still Total Traffic?
Yeah, Total Traffic and Weather Network.
Okay. Have they asked you not to say Vegas?
No.
Oh, because I notice every time you talk about the desert, you always talk about state line.
Oh, well, because, you know, that's in California.
Oh.
And if you're heading to the state line, I mean, you're going to Nevada, right?
Right. Because I see. Because, you know, like most people, I bet 80% of the traffic that goes up the 15 goes to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought there was, like, something weird over there. Like, no, we have an advertiser, and don't say Vegas, and we'll fire you and F you and your sandals and the whole run.
Yeah, they haven't said F you and your sandals yet, so I'm really happy about that. But, Timmy, if you want me to say, hey, if you're going to Vegas, then I'll throw that in.
If you're going to Lost Wages.
I didn't care either way. It just stuck out that you kept saying state line, and I've been meaning to ask you for years, and I just didn't have the balls to do it, so. I was going to call you last week and ask you about it. I'm like, nah, I don't want to bother her. It's 3 a.m. on a Monday.
3 a.m. I'm like, what are you talking about? What?
Hey, Angel, it's Conway. What's up? It's 3 a.m. I know she say state line a lot. What's up? Yeah, that kind of
run.
All right, very good. The day before Thanksgiving, everybody. Can you believe that? It's our, you know, this stupid, you know, pandemic started in February, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Wow, what happened here? KFI AM 640. It's the Conway program. Don't forget that we have our Pastathon. That's a cool event, right? And it's going on right now. You can go to any Smart and Final, and you go to the cash register and just say, hey, I'd like to donate to Katarina's Club. They'll add $10 to your order, and that money will supply 14 meals for Bruno to hand out to these kids that don't have food. They literally don't have food, right? And you can make a difference. There was a company that called us earlier this week or late last week called Fiberpasta.us. Fiberpasta.us. They donated 2,000 pounds of pasta. A ton of pasta. Wow, that's a ton of pasta. It literally is. And that's going to be, it's going to go a long way. You know, that might feed 4,000 kids, right? Quarter pound of pasta per kid. That's doable. So that's really cool of them to do that. Fiberpasta.us. I love those guys. So let's go to Pastathon for more information. And again, these kids need food, right? I mean, we live in a country where a guy's worth $181 billion, and there's a mom, perhaps a single mom, you know, sitting in her living room and listening to her kid crying in bed because he doesn't have any food. That's going on right now in this country. Guy's got $181 billion, and another woman is nervous as hell where she's going to find the next meal for her kid. Both are happening in this country right now. So let's we can put a little dent in it, right, with Katarina's Club. And all you have to do is go to any Smart and Final in California, Nevada, or Arizona and add $10 at the register. Thank you for doing that. You can't imagine what it means to us.
You know what it reminds me of? There's a saying that I've only heard at, like, synagogue and, like,
my little Meshuggah.
That's right. That's one? It. Oh. And that translates to, I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase, but it's said a lot in the Jewish community. Save one person and you save the world.
Oh, wow.
And this is like a perfect example of that.
How do you say it in Hebrew?
I don't know, Tim.
Oh, my God.
Speak some light Yiddish. I can say yes and no. And a big one is Sheket Bavakasha, which is shut up, kids. The teacher says that a lot.
Did you have to recite do the Torah and everything for the bat mitzvah?
I did the 3-hour service because we were conservative. You know, Steve Grad wanted, you know, to make sure that we had Judaism in our lives. So there was no reform for us. It was all in Hebrew.
By the way, when my friend had a bar mitzvah and we found out it was a 3-hour service, pass. We'll catch you at the Sportsman's Lodge.
Yeah, for the reception afterwards.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
The one way to make sure that Judaism does not stay in that kid is to give him a 3-hour service at 13.
And you start practicing and learning a year ahead.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Not only do you go to Hebrew school, but you also go to trope class and Haftorah class and an additional night of the week.
Oh, yeah. We had to go to CCD. I went with a buddy of mine, Steve Berkery. I remember getting off the RTD. We used to take the RTD to Portola and back. And I remember all my friends had their skateboards with them, and they were all going to go, you know, skateboarding at Balboa Park or Encino Park or wherever, or, you know, like the old Thrifty drugstore. And I had to get off the bus at White Oak and Ventura and had to go into CCD, Catholic school.
What do you do there? Because I had friends that went to that, and I didn't know what was going on.
Nothing, man. It was the worst. And I said to my mom, I said, look, after my confirmation, I'm going to skate here for a while. And she said, okay, as soon as you have your confirmation, you don't have to go to CCD anymore. I'm like, thank God. So I did mine. I rushed mine.
Wow.
Got through, and my confirmation name is Timothy Walter Dalton Conway.
Oh, that's nice.
And, yep, that was a wrap. But I remember for a year having to get off the bus, you know, six stops before my buddies did, and depressed out of my mind.
Tim, it's cute that you did that for a year. Yeah. I went from preschool to high school. And my Hebrew name is Ora Shoshana, not that anyone asked.
That's great, man. That's a lot, you know, to go to Hebrew school and then go to post-Hebrew school.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like the after hours.
That's right.
The bash. Oh, man, that was the worst. But I don't know if I really learned anything. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. How to treat people. I don't know. But I remember my mom coming out of church. And she got really pissed off at us because we were talking and screwing around. You know, she had five boys, and five boys in church for an hour and a half is not really that kosher. I remember getting in the car, and she took a box of something and hit it over my brother's head. And I said to my mom, I said, hey, you know, we spent an hour and a half in that brick building, and everything the priest said was not to do that. Everything the priest said in that building for the last hour and a half is how to treat other people. That's the bottom line. With Catholicism, how to treat others.
And that probably got you a wagon.
Yeah, and the first thing that comes out of it is a shoebox right to the head. Oh. All right, very good. We're live on KFI. When we come back, we'll... we got a guest when we come back, which is pretty cool. And then we also have Mo Kelly coming on tonight at 8 o'clock. And then Neil Saavedra will be on with us as well. So Alex Stone will be back with us. We'll talk to him right after this break. We'll be back in 2 and 2, or more like, you know, 12 and 2.
It's Timmy time!
Bet your ass! Timmy! Ah! Timmy! Ah! He's a little lamb with a lot to learn. He's always having such a lot of fun, a lot of fun! Timmy! Ah! Timmy! Ah! Little lamb with a lot to learn!
It's Timmy time!
Yeah! It is the Conway Show. We are live here in Los Angeles the day before Thanksgiving. And Alex Stone is working on something pretty cool, and he joins us. Alex Stone, last we left you, you're getting tested for COVID at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, good news. That came back negative.
Oh, that's great. You and your wife, right?
Yeah. No, we're both good. So, yeah, no worries there.
That's great, man. How was your kid's birthday? Cool?
He had a great time. I mean, it's a little weird. You're not around anybody, but no, he had a great time. He got a lot of Legos. And thanks to you. Thank you for your birthday wishes, and... you know, I don't think we gave him 10 grand that you called for, but, you know, we were pretty close somewhere, you know, maybe 9,900 short of that, but pretty close.
Yeah. You know how I started that? I was in Vegas with a friend of mine, and we took a car from the airport to the hotel, and he gets out of the car and he says to the driver, he goes, man, he goes, my buddy's the biggest tipper in Vegas. And you get anything less than 100, I'd be shocked, right? And then I laid 10 bucks on the guy. He goes, hey, is that it? I'm like, wait a,
no. Wait a second. It. Bozo just, over here.
It. Hey, so what are you working on? Something pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, so this is pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm really into aviation. And so anytime we get to do anything aviation related and, you know, you go out the 14 into Mojave, you go out to Victorville, and you see all of those boneyards that are out there.
Right.
You see all the towering airplane tails and whatnot from the glamorous days of air travel. So went out to the Mojave to meet up with a guy named Dave Hall. And this is what it sounds like.
This is incredible.
You like it?
How you doing?
We got out there. So Dave is the owner of Moto Art, and he has become an icon in the world of aviation. And Moto Art's based out of Torrance. They've also got a company called Plane Tags, which is spinoff of Moto Art. And what they do is they take old commercial and military aircraft, and they make really cool, really, in most cases, really expensive art out of these things of, you know, conference tables out of the windows of a 767, chairs out of ejection seats from B-52s, wall art, that sort of thing. But, I mean, the stuff he has out there, amazing. When you walk around the boneyard.
This is the Beach 18.
Wow.
The Twin Beach. This had a boom tail on it. And this is a Catalina flying boat.
I mean, it really is like a museum of planes out there.
We just passed a Russian MiG. This is a CH-47 Chinook. That's what's left of it. The flooring we ripped out and used for a beautiful conference table that we built for Boeing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got Boeing and the airlines. I mean, companies that can spend that money. But then, Timmy, we got to go out to what I think is the cool place, the commercial area of commercial planes. You know, these planes that have been all over the world. And now they sit waiting for their next life, and that's what he does.
The one we're passing here is this N747A. That belongs to NASA, and they use it for mostly parts. But that's a 747-100, I believe, which is the first series 747. And it belonged to Pan Am originally, I believe.
It even says Clipper America still on the front of it. But so this is where then he came up with this idea. Yeah, you know, Boeing can spend $40,000 on a conference table made out of one of their old jets. You know, a celebrity can say, hey, I want half of an airplane in here to be in my bedroom. But what about the guy who, you know, $40, $50, and he came up with this idea. Now, this is where he has a fan club online that has been set up.
Right.
People buy and sell these things like baseball cards and, you know, on the secondary market, and the prices go up for military and commercial aircraft that are going back and forth. But this is how he came up with this plane tags idea.
Yeah, when I was working, this had to have been about 15 years ago. It was very early on in the when I started MotoArt, but we were working with a P-51 Mustang, and which is really kind of a gray area right there. But it was a piece that was never usable. It was destroyed. And I'm like, well, let's just take the skin off this and make like, and I thought like a dog tag, you know, it'd be able to identify, but I'll call it a plane tag. And so I made myself a little prototype. I laser etched into it what it was, and I put it on my keychain, and I used it on my keys for literally, you know, 10 years, 15 years, whatever, how long it was. And finally one day I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I bought an old punch press machine, and I made myself a die. And for Christmas, you know, I came out with 6 different plane tags. I had a B-25 bomber, you know, I had a 747, you know, 767, an Airbus A320.
So he tells me that once he put those online and, you know, he thought, eh, let's see how these go. It was Black Friday 5 years ago, and he said you would not have believed. He puts them out there, and it's bing, 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 bing of orders coming in. And he went, oh, my God, we have got something here. And now, I mean, they take all that back. We went back to his studio in Torrance where, you know, Elon Musk holds events when it's non-COVID because they've just got, you know, pieces of planes that old bands flew on and were used in movies. And they shine this stuff up. And, I mean, the money that they're making now and bringing in, it's just incredible.
That is unbelievable. I would love to have one of those. But two questions for you here. What is the actual dog tag made out of? Is it made out of part of the plane?
Yeah, it's the skin of the aircraft. So, you know, if you choose any of the military aircraft or, you know, they just came out with TWA, the last TWA 747 that was still intact in one of the boneyards, and they skin it. They take the aluminum off the outside of it, and then they clean it up. They shine it. They don't repaint it or anything, but they laser etch in the schematic of the plane and details of the plane, and then it's a luggage tag or a keychain, you know, or people just a lot of the fans of it in their fan club. They don't even take it out of the packaging. They just collect them because they want, and you get, you know, the one guy will buy of, you know, Sully, even though they don't have the plane tags from the actual plane, but they've got an old U.S. Airways that was used in the movie that, you know, you can get the section that has in a plane tag the red and the white from the paint or the red and the gray, you know, the TWA, you might have a little bit of red in there. So people will buy United, you know, you want to have the old United livery of a little bit of the light blue with a little bit of the dark blue. So they buy, you know, they may have 8 tags from the same plane because they want all of those different pieces of the color. But for somebody who's just buying it, you know, maybe you have a family member who flew a certain plane in the military or whatnot, you know, that's the customer right there. And you get engraved, they'll engrave it on the back with the person's information and whatnot. But, you know, I mean, it's an idea that sounds so simple. And you go, and he's making a lot of money.
It's really going to take off, and not just for airplanes, but this can go into other businesses. I mean, you could literally have, you know, an old NASA space shuttle or a spacecraft and make those same dog tags out of that, or, you know, an old, you know, part of Dodger Stadium or Fenway Park, and do it with that as well. I mean, this could be huge.
Well, you absolutely could. I mean, they've got old, at this point, and they sell out of them immediately, but old stealth aircraft, the tags made out of them, rockets that have been used, you know, they're all burned up. And you see, I mean, everything's original on them. So,
I bought one of the stealth aircraft ones, and he sent it to me. And it was just a plastic bag, and I said, "You forgot the dog tag." Said,
you couldn't
no,
see it.
There. Yeah,
yeah, nothing
Crazy.
Was in there.
What's the website? How do people go to buy one?
You can go. The more expensive stuff is over at MotoArt. The plane tags are at planetags.com. I even think that they're doing some kind of Black Friday thing right now. But it's pretty cool what they're doing. The military aircraft out there. There's just so many, that folks are, the fact that they've got a fan club now online where, this is what people do day in and day out. They talk about the tags they've got, taking pictures of them, showing people what they've got. It's all pretty cool.
It's amazing. I've never heard of this before. You're
down in Torrance. Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, buddy. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on. And
thanks for having me. And again, thanks for the birthday wishes last week.
Yeah, that was great, man. I know little, kids, when I was younger, we used to call talk radio just to hear our voices or names on the radio. And there was something kind of cool and magical.
Oh,
about
it was
that.
Amazing.
And it was this is something we used to do. And I felt bad to this day. But Al Downing used to host the Dodger talk right after the game. And the one rule was he hated when you called up and asked him how he felt about giving up the home run to Hank Aaron in Atlanta. that set the record for Hank Aaron. So we would call him up, hey, it's Tim in the Valley. Hey, what do you think about Ron Say in the hot corner? And by the way, how was it giving up that home run to Hank Aaron? And man, he would just start swearing and
get really, really angry. Nice.
But it was a lot of fun. I mean, back, I had a CB. I don't know if you had a CB growing up, I just always liked the live, being on live. It was always cool.
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. Yeah. Jackson's face smiling through and through when you did it.
That's great. All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll
You're
talk
the best,
after
Tim. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes. All right. Alex Stone, everybody. That's a great idea. Planetags.com. I'm going to go check it out. AFI AM 640. It is the Conway program. Oh, boy. A huge shout out for the guys at Fire Station 119. All right? Fire Station 119 in Diamond Bar. That's the LA County Fire Station out there, right where the 57 and the 60 meet right there.
Wait, Tim.
Yeah.
That's actually Walnut.
The what?
That's it's not Diamond Bar. It's Walnut.
No, it's Diamond Bar.
It's Roland Heights.
Wait, but why?
No, it's Walnut.
No, it's Diamond Bar. I mean, that's
guys,
what I was told.
No. It's Roland Heights. Trust me.
How do
both of you know where Fire Station 119 is? LA County Fire Station 119. Why do you care? First of all, how do you know that?
Everybody knows it's in Roland Heights.
No.
Not in Diamond Bar.
I was told Diamond Bar.
Well, then whoever told you is incorrect.
No, it's Walnut.
So the guy that lives there at the fire station is just off his rocker? He doesn't know where he lives?
No, he lives in Roland Heights.
Yeah, he lives in Roland Heights, but this fire department is in Walnut.
No, it's in Roland Heights. It's not in Walnut.
It's Diamond Bar.
Tim? It's Roland Heights.
It's Tim Donnell. He's a fireman of LA County, and he said, I'm gonna read this to you, okay?
He commutes to Walnut?
No. Heights. He does not. But Roland he says, he sent me this thing about Bob's Big Boy. And I said, yeah, that Bob's Big Boy in Burbank
Big
has
boy.
Been there since 1949.
Big Boy!
It's,
Big Boy!
It's but Big Boy!
Big Boy!
Big Boy! Big Boy! But it it's the oldest operating Big Boy, Bob's Big Boy,
Big Boy
in America. And so I wrote him back, I'm like, yeah, I got a lot of memories from there. And he said, yeah, we listen all the time at home, even when I'm at work at the fire station. Keep up the awesome work, ding dong. And I said, what fire station are you in? And he said, LA County, Station 119, Diamond Bar. So What should I write him back? You're crazy. You're wrong. You don't know where you serve. You're a lunatic. How should I word it, Miss Bellio?
Just say, isn't that Roland Heights?
Oh, okay. And what if he writes back, no, it's Diamond. Go to Diamond Bar.
He'll actually write back saying, no, it's Walnut.
Mondo, it's not Walnut. It's Roland Heights. Even Moose says it's Roland Heights.
Does Moose bark all day like Ernie?
No, Maze does.
Oh, that's great.
Is Moose barking because of Big Boy?
Yeah, he was just saying, Big Boy! Roo, roo.
It sounded more like he was saying, Diamond Bar.
No, it was Roland Heights.
Roland Bar.
Roland Heights.
Diamond Bar.
He was saying, Walnut.
No. You're going to get in on this now?
Oh, my God.
Walnut.
Sounded like Diamond Bark.
That's right. That's what it is. Diamond Bark. Ding Dong, by the way. All right. But anyway, all the guys listening out there, I don't know if Tim listens alone in a bathroom somewhere or if the station does, but L.A. County Fire Station. L.A. County Fire Station. Squad 51. Engine 119. That's
man down.
Well, yeah,
hit it, Mondo.
Station 51, man trapped. 2218 North Hill, cross street Burnside. Timeout 1411.
You know the first time
Station
we played 51, that.
4 KMG 365.
Does anybody remember the first time we played that?
Yes.
What happened? So that was
it. Well, Steve Gregory, right?
That's Steve Gregory, you're correct.
And wasn't it with Harrison Ford?
Yep.
And yes.
When he crashed the plane into it in a golf course in Santa Monica.
Yes.
And we said,
we
hey, Steve.
Probably have that.
Yeah, I said, hey, Steve, I actually have the 911 call. And he's like, where did you get it?
He was so like, you got that? And he didn't.
Yeah. And well, because he works his ass off to try to get, sound, as he calls it. And I said, I got the 911 call. And he goes, where did you get it? And I said, first of all, calm down. I got my own connections. And second of all, I'll let you use it, but you can't be that rude to me. And he goes, well, let me hear it. And I said, okay, this is what we played.
Hit it, Mondo.
Station 51, man trapped. 2218 North Hill, cross street Burnside. Timeout 1411.
Station 51, 10-4 KMG 365.
That's great.
So great.
That was awesome. He was busting up, man. He was pissed first.
Oh, he really was.
You know, Steve Gregory's the kind of guy. You know, I love the guy, but anytime you send him a news tip, he's like, "Oh yeah, I heard that like 3 days ago."
He does too.
Yeah, it's like, hey, there's a fire just started right next to my house. He goes, oh yeah, that fire started. It was an electrical fire. It started about 28 minutes ago, and I already there. I already left. I have the captain talked about it. I got sound from him already. So that's old news. So I stopped sending him tips because I felt like an idiot. You know, because he had already heard it 9 days before. I stopped sending him crap. I said, forget it. Forget this guy. All right, we got to take a break? Okay. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640 the day before Thanksgiving. That is unbelievable that we're already here. KFI AM 640 is the Conway program. And I just found this out through Mondo that the busiest pizza day of the year, the day that people order the most pizza to have delivered, is Super Bowl Sunday. And the second busiest pizza day is the day before Thanksgiving. Isn't that wild?
That's pretty wild.
Is that wild? And so I guess people are they're going to be cooking all day tomorrow, and they don't want to cook today and 2 days in a row. Is that right, Doc? That's right, Doc. All right.
Kid's like, what's that impression? Johnny Carson. Johnny who? Who is that? Anyway, yeah, done? So if you're ordering food today and it's not on time, it's because it's the busiest day of the year. Meow. All right. We're going to have Mo Kelly on at 8, and then Neil Saavedra is coming on at 8:30, and he's going to be on all day or all morning tomorrow talking about food, and you know, you're going to have somebody live on the air who knows his way around the kitchen. So if you have any questions, maybe your turkey's blown up on you, then you can call and talk to Neil Saavedra, or just listen to him tomorrow, sitting in for Bill Handel. That's kind of cool. Very, very good. So anyway, again, that is tomorrow morning, starting at what time? Is that 6, Mondo?
Yes, 6 a.m. Well, 5 a.m. with Jennifer Jones-Lee, and then she'll take it right into Neil Saavedra at 6 o'clock.
All right. Okay, the restaurants are devastated over
so
this
go
ban.
Go
nowhere. Listen to your well-fed host tomorrow at 6 a.m. All right, this is horrible. These restaurants, these local restaurants are getting killed with this ban on outdoor and indoor seating. And then I just got a text from a friend of mine. I sent it to Bellio. Maybe we'll put it up, maybe we're not. I don't know if we are or not. But I sent it to Bellio because I literally, it's a picture of a pizza place in Boise, Idaho. And I can't tell which pizza place it is. But anyway, it's a full restaurant. Every single table is full. Every single booth is full. There's kids playing video games. And everybody's eating. And nobody's wearing a mask. And they're all indoors. So why can't we do that here? Why do we have to suffer here? I think there's a reason why people are moving to Idaho, right? It's to get life normal again. Get back to normal life. And that's what they're doing in Idaho. But not here. We're getting hammered out here.
I usually just eat at any breakfast place that allows to dine in because I like to take my time and eat.
Anna Barrera's daily routine in Studio City will change tomorrow. All in-person dining in L.A. County, including service in these patio areas, has been ordered to stop for 3 weeks starting at 10 tonight.
Oh, my God. At 10 o'clock tonight, they're going to stop eating. You can't eat indoors or outdoors at a restaurant for 3 weeks. Three of the probably six busiest weeks on the calendar. You know, people in for Thanksgiving, people looking to, you know, go out Christmas shopping and then eat somewhere. And the L.A. County supervisors have shut them down with, I don't think, that much proof or any proof, at least scientific proof, that eating at a restaurant outdoors can kill you.
In Long Beach, bartender Sarah Parrish says she now has to look for another job.
I'm really worried. I'm worried about paying my rent. I'm worried about paying my bills.
Yesterday, L.A. County's Board of Supervisors defeated a motion that would have blocked the dining ban. And a private lawsuit seeking an injunction was rejected by a judge. The new ban comes amidst a troubling surge in COVID.
What the hell's going on with this county, right? Where the supervisors want to run everybody into bankruptcy, and then the judge says, no, you can't fight it in court.
And a private lawsuit seeking an injunction was rejected by a judge. The new ban comes amidst a troubling surge in COVID-19 infections and a sudden rise in deaths.
And less steps continue to be made, then I do anticipate that we will use up those currently available beds that the hospitals are currently projecting that they have.
Public health leaders are concerned about people eating and socializing without masks. They stress in-person dining is the only retail activity that carries that particular risk. Takeout and delivery services can continue. Opponents maintain data suggests most cases are linked to other kinds of gatherings and activities. And the LA Economic Development Corporation estimates about 700,000 food industry jobs could be lost. Barista Stephanie Morizigos says she understands the county's action, but hopes more help is on the way for all the Southland businesses and workers barely hanging on.
Yeah, people are just hanging on, man.
I think it's the best for everything, like just to slow down the pandemic and hopefully get rid of it. But obviously, it's awful for all the businesses.
LA County did allocate another $10 million for coronavirus relief yesterday. Much of that is expected to be focused on aid for restaurants.
Oh, boy. All right. I heard Mark Garagos on with John and Ken. I don't know if anybody heard that. Interesting guy, right? And I was unaware that Mark Garagos, who's a huge attorney in Los Angeles, I was unaware that he owned two restaurants or three restaurants in L.A.
He has so many businesses. He has 10E downtown. He had something at LAX. I think he still might. He's part owner in a hotel in Palm Springs. Wow. I mean, he really has a good side business going.
Yeah, he has a restaurant in Colton It's called rather an odd name. I Defend Murderers.
That's the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, that's the name of the restaurant. And he's got another one in Altadena called Scott Peterson is Guilty.
I did not know that.
Is that a pop-up?
No, it's a regular sit-down. Oh. It's a kind of 50s diner. And it's called Scott Peterson is Guilty. And it's in Altadena. It looks like, Greasy Spoon sort of 50s diner-ish with that little jukebox on the table. You know, you put a nickel in.
Sounds cute.
Yeah. And then in Colton, I Defend Murderers. I don't know. That's sort of like a Southwestern looks like. You know, red and white tablecloths, kind of a Western Tex-Mex kind of feel. So anyway, interesting names, but man, he certainly, is not running away from it, and what he does for a living. So ding dong with him. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Somebody texted me and asked if I knew Mark Garagos. And yes, I do know him. I just busted his balls. He's a racetrack guy. I've spent probably, I don't know, 7 or 8, 9 days out there at Santa Anita, either at a table next to him or a suite that he was in. And you can bust your friend's balls on the radio. There's nothing wrong with that. God almighty.
And by the way, if you said to Mark, who I also know, if you said, do you know why Scott Peterson's in prison? He'd go, what? he knows what's up. He knows what he does.
Memory serves me right. I don't think he actually was on that case. He defended that guy Cameron Brown. Does that name sound familiar?
Ooh, why does that name sound familiar?
He was the guy who was charged with murder, and this will make you angry, Gina, because you have a 5-year-old at home.
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't bum you out for the whole night. But he was charged with throwing his 4-year-old daughter off the cliff at Rancho Palos Verdes. And it was a 12-week trial that ended in August of 2006 without a verdict. And then he was retried, and they found him guilty. And I believe the person who in the DA's office, and I guess I should probably check this before, I say anything. But I believe the DA in charge of that case is Shannon Farron's husband.
Oh, wow.
I think that's how they met, actually.
Wow. You are a font of knowledge tonight.
Thank you very much. But that was a wild case. I mean, I think he was trying to get back at his wife. So he went to Palos Verdes with his daughter and just threw her off the cliff.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
And I could be thinking the wrong geographical location, and it doesn't get more horrible than what you just said. But isn't that the area that they call the washing machine? Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would imagine that may have been the place. It's such a turbulent, crazy. I'm going to use all the wrong words, but the current system that you could never get out of that if you had fallen in it.
But that was an especially gruesome case because the guy, said it was an accident. He said he's just walking on the cliff and his daughter, slipped and passed away. So I don't know what's true or what's not. And, only the big man will determine, whether you did it or not.
Right.
But they found him guilty of it. He was retried, I think, a third time. I think it was. There were 2 hung juries, and the third time, they nailed him on it. But can you imagine, being in prison for something like that, and you didn't do it? Like, she actually did slip and fall?
It's horrifying.
Oh, my God. It is wild. It is really crazy. Anyway, don't forget, we have our really cool charity event, and it is called the Pastathon. And the Pastathon is terrific. It's the 10th anniversary. Raising funds and pasta sauce for Katerina's Club, Chef Bruno's charity that feeds more than 25,000 kids every single week. Not every year, every week. Over 1 million kids a year. They're eating dinner and one good meal a day thanks to Bruno. So go to pastathon.com or any Smart and Final store in California, Arizona, or Nevada and donate $10 at the checkout. And that'll go right to Bruno, right to Katerina's Club, and that will produce and provide 14 meals. your $10 will create 14 meals. So you're going to feel good about yourself as well. And again, there's kids who are parents are right now, they're putting their kids to bed, and the kids are hungry, and the parents don't have food for them. That's happening right now in the area of this station. Like, this station can reach the households where that currently is happening. And it's horrible. It's horrible. Anyway, so help if you can. I understand if you can't. It's been a horrible year. And don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame. Maybe we'll catch you next year. But if you can help this year, it's especially bad because the parents who had, you know, very little before may have nothing now and relying solely on Bruno and Katarina's Club. So the Pastathon will be collecting donations daily at the Anaheim White House now through December 4th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., except Thanksgiving. They're not going to be open tomorrow. And you don't need to leave your car. Volunteers are on site and will collect your donations. So go to pastathon.com or just slide by the restaurant. It's the White House in Anaheim. You'll look it up. You'll find it. You're smart, right? You can do that. And that's going to be it's especially tough this year for these kids. So if you got time, you got money, it'd be very much appreciated. Very much appreciated. All right. Black Friday is changing, right? We always knew Black Friday is the day you go to Target or Walmart or the mall, Best Buy, and pick up a couple gifts. Well, that's all changing because of COVID. Let's find out how many changes are going to be made, right?
From the comfort of your car.
Los speakers right here. I love my music, so.
Or the click of your keyboard. It's never been easier or more highly encouraged to skip the age-old American tradition of camping out in front of stores and spilling in shoulder to shoulder to get your hands on Black Friday deals.
It's like our first Christmas during like a real pandemic, so I just feel like no one's really prepared.
Wait a minute, what did he say?
On Black Friday.
It's like our first Christmas during like a real pandemic.
So it's his first Christmas during a real pandemic. He just nailed 7 billion people. He's not alone. It's everybody's first Christmas with the pandemic.
It's like our first Christmas during like a real pandemic. So I just feel like no one's really prepared.
But the big box stores are trying to prepare, urging their customers to choose curbside service or buy holiday gifts online.
I wonder how the big box stores got that name, right? And they probably got it because there's smaller boxes at CVS and the bigger boxes are at, you know, Lowe's and Walmart and Costco. They have bigger boxes over there. And so now they call them the big box store.
Where many companies started offering deals earlier than ever this year.
Oh, yeah.
To limit in-person interactions amid a nationwide increase in coronavirus cases.
And I usually come in store, but I just got to Amazon it this time, unfortunately. It just feels safer, at least.
Well, that's Mondo's friend. He just texts me. He goes, that's my friend. And Mondo's in the background laughing at him.
And I usually come in store.
This is Mondo's friend.
And I usually come in store, but I just got to Amazon it this time, unfortunately.
And that's you laughing in the background, Mondo?
Yeah, because he said it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Got to Amazon it this time, unfortunately. Feels safer, at least.
A projected 33% spike in e-commerce.
Where'd you meet him? At Rocket Science School? Where'd you meet that guy?
Yeah,
a projected 33% spike in e-commerce is expected to strain fulfillment centers and shipping carriers this season. Yeah. But so far, it looks like some people still choosing to wait in smaller lines to shop inside stores like this Best Buy in Pasadena.
How many did you get total? Like four?
Four phones.
Like Jessica and Bob, who just bought phones for their whole family.
Wow. We were actually just saying, wow, it's Thanksgiving week, and we're in the store, and there was like hardly anybody in there, which is probably good.
Retail Federation forecasts total holiday sales this year could reach about 766.
Somebody's making money. Guy can afford four cell phones. Picks up four cell phones. Wow. Knocking it out. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway program. This Saturday is one of the cool events that we do at the station. Not we do. The station does every year. And I love listening to it. Mo Kelly hosts it, and it's all about small business. Mo Kelly, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
My brother, it is always good to talk to you, Tim. I heard you were in the station the other day when I was there, but I didn't see you, didn't get a chance to find you and just say hello to you in person. It's been such a long time since we've seen each other.
It's been way too long. I think the last time you and I saw each other was maybe last year during your anniversary show.
Might have been. Yeah. Might have been.
What anniversary would it have been this year?
Eighth.
Wow. Can you believe that?
Yeah, April 9th, 2012.
That is wild, man. Good for you. Well, you and your producers, your board op, everyone, Tawala, who, by the way, is a top-notch producer. I know I've told this story on the air before.
I try to tell people. He's undercover with it.
he's amazing. But he was filling in for Belial one night, and he called me at 5 o'clock, and he said, you have any idea for guests tonight? And I said, the mayor of Palmdale, Lancaster area, they're going to shoot off fireworks, and everyone else in the state's been told not to do it. And I think his name is Mayor Paris or something like that. And he said he's going to do it anyway. I said it's a real long shot because, you know, the businesses are closed and the mayor's not in the office. But if you can find a connection, have him on, that'd be great. 10 minutes later, I get a text. He's booked for 6 p.m.
No exaggeration.
Yeah, unbelievable. And he spent an hour with us, too. It was great. It was unbelievable. Anyway, so this thing you're doing on Saturday is really cool. It gives a lot of people who are struggling right now a leg up and gives them some free advertising that they desperately need, especially this year.
And what I want people to always remember, KFI is a blowtorch, and you understand this, Tim. When people listen to KFI, especially on the weekend, especially at night, you could be heard terrestrially in some maybe 14 states.
Oh, yeah.
Up and down California, into Oregon, into Mexico, out to Nevada and Arizona. You can be heard everywhere. And then let's talk about iHeartRadio. We're the number one streaming station on iHeartRadio. Yep. So, I mean, there's no way to really convey how many people might be listening in that given moment. And then when you put into the equation that we're going to take all these small businesses, put them together in a list, and also put it on our website at KFI AM 640 so people can refer back to them throughout the holiday season. It is the gift that will keep on giving, and especially in COVID-19, this environment. I highly recommend, if you have a small business, you know, as President Trump will say, what do you have to lose? But you do have a lot to gain.
I love how like 10 to 15 times every Saturday and Sunday you keep quoting Donald Trump. That's really cool that you
I try my best.
Hey, so is the format going to be the same where they give like a certain amount of time to go ahead and pitch their company?
Yeah, there'll be individuals. They've sent in their information to us. Okay. That if they go to the website, KFIAM640.com, there's a banner that can put in their information. And then we will be reading that on the air. And then two or three segments, we will be taking calls. And then the owners of these small businesses will be giving us 30 seconds of, you know, just like their elevator pitch. You know, come to Tim's flower shop. We're at 3553 Ventura Boulevard. And right. If you come in and say, we love Mokela, we'll give you 10% off, something like that.
That's great. And I'm sure you've heard back from people over the years on how much it's really helped their company or their business.
Oh, yeah. We had one business who took our commercial and turned it into an actual commercial in the sense of what they did on the air, calling in, and they used that for a really good promotion that they use on social media in perpetuity. And if you're really creative, this is an opportunity where you can have it last beyond the moment for quite some time.
And you'll take are there anybody that are not allowed to call up?
We discourage if you're a franchisee, because that's not necessarily a small business. You have opportunities that other businesses just do not have within that franchise matrix. So if you are a small business and you may be online only, that's fine. You may be online only and in New York, that's fine. People can still reach you, but you just want to be a small business. And we're not trying to quantify, you know, you have to have fewer than 15 employees, but we encourage as many small businesses to come out so we can support you. We're not doing any show content. It's just about the small businesses, the economic engine of Southern California.
So if Tim Cook called you, he's out. He's not coming on.
Yeah, I don't know if he would qualify as a small business. Right. But, you know, if Steve Jobs called, I'll take that call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, and that's going to be on just on Saturday, not on Sunday, right?
Just on Saturday. The whole show from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay, Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Can people still get a shout-out in if they email you or go to the website?
Absolutely. We're cutting off the website sign-ups at about 3 p.m. on Saturday. So go to KFIAM640.com. You'll see a banner on the homepage. You have to fill out maybe 6 or 7 lines of information. Make sure it's easy to pronounce. If not, put in a pronouncer for us. And it's real simple, like your website, your phone number, any type of special or promotion that you'd like to offer. And then we will be reading it on the air and giving you an actual commercial.
Has anybody over the years called up and promoted their marijuana business?
Not yet. Isn't as a wild? Matter of fact, I can say not yet. So and that would definitely qualify as a small business. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you grew up in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Were you a Rams fan or Raiders? Or
I am a Rams fan to the day I die. I've always been a Rams fan. The first Rams football game I went to was in 1977 when the Rams were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At the time, they were an expansion team. The Rams won like 33-0 at the Coliseum.
That is unbelievable. I used to – my dad used to take me to games. You know, I started back in the early 70s. And I think I was 10 when I went to my first game. But I remember when they were still blue and white. I saw Roman Gabriel play.
Fierce and foursome.
Yeah. Merlin Olsen, Jack Snow, Jack Youngblood.
Rosie.
And then being a Rams fan, you'll know this. Every single year, the playoffs come up, and it's either the Vikings or the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yep. And wiped us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Roger Staubach coming in and, you know, passing for like 900 yards. And that
I remember watching the Super Bowl when the Rams played the Steelers, and they were up by, like, I don't know, maybe 10 points in the fourth quarter. And I said, finally, and I'm a child, finally the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. And, of course, they blew it.
You know what? I had mixed feelings about that game because my dad made the mistake of telling me before the game. Was that 78?
I think it's 1980. It's 1979 80. Season, 80 Super Bowl.
Okay. So I was, a junior in high school, and my dad made a mistake of telling me that he bet $100 for me and $100 for him on the Steelers. And $100 was a lot back then.
Yeah.
And I thought that was huge, and I sort of wanted the Steelers.
Yeah, I could not even root for the Rams when they went to St. Louis. I just didn't have a team.
I didn't either. I, as a matter of fact, I was so pissed off at the ownership and, you know, the Carroll and the mysterious way that he died, too.
Very mysterious. Yeah. It makes you wonder to this day.
Yep. It was horrible. When they came back, it was almost like a dream to see those colors back. And now they're back at this beautiful stadium. And to watch, I don't know if you watched last week's game or Monday's game against Tampa Bay, but what a beautiful game that was.
I watched it from beginning to end, and it's a shame because I was hoping the house I just bought is 3 miles from the new stadium, and I was hoping to be going to like a bunch of games this year, but then, you know, COVID happened.
Where are you, south of the stadium?
I am south of the stadium. I'm like north of Gardena, south of Inglewood.
Okay, so you bought fairly within a couple miles of where you used to live.
About 10 miles away from where I used to live.
Oh, 10 miles?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's that far from were you still in like the Torrance area?
Yeah, I was. And then I moved to this area, which they call like this quasi Inglewood. But yeah.
Right. Wow. Do you live in the city of Los Angeles, though?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
LA city address.
Yeah. So you have to deal with the horrible services of the city of LA.
Everything horrible.
Yeah. Right. But if you lived in Inglewood, man, that's the move. That's where the homes are skyrocketing and the services are great. You know,
I'm less than a mile from Inglewood. They have $1 million homes. Townhouses. It's like,
I know.
What?
That was the move, you know, 10 years ago to buy in Inglewood. That all that property is going to be snapped up now. And, you know, it's all going to be Airbnb when the Rams play or the you know, Chargers play. It's going to be great. All right, buddy. Really appreciate coming on 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday. And it's not too late to get your pitch in, but you got to do it fairly quickly because it does, it fills up and then and it's over. Not going to happen until next year. Buddy, have a great Thanksgiving. I love the fact that, I support the idea of no leftovers. I like that. I love leftovers. But in defense of you, and a lot of people don't know this, that Mo Kelly does not eat leftovers.
Ugh, can't stand him.
But in defense of Mo Kelly, I mean, what did they call, like 25 years ago, when you went to a steakhouse and you wanted to take the rest of your steak home, maybe the potatoes, what did they call that bag that they threw it in?
Doggy bag.
The doggy bag. Right. And so even back then, it was supposed to go for the dog, not the human. That is a great defense. A great defense. And defense rests. But I love leftovers. But I love the fact that you throw everything out after Thanksgiving.
It'll go home with someone else, but it won't go with me.
Yeah, Mo, if you want, I'll drive down there with Tupperware and just grab whatever you got.
Yeah, that might. You know what? Between you and my wife, who's the vegan, yeah, that might work.
Cool.
Wow, man. Oh man, what a light Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving is pretty rare. Pretty rare.
Yeah.
Pretty stark in the house. All right. Thanks for coming on, Bob.
See you soon.
You're the best. All right. There he goes, Mo Kelly, and Saturday is his big small business show from 6 to 8 p.m. That guy's the best, man. But it freaks people out when they know that he throws everything out after Thanksgiving and does not eat leftovers.
I don't get it.
Freaks people out. Because we have leftovers literally for a week. You know, I'll be eating that crap for a week until I get, like, sick. That's right. KFI, AM 640, the Conway Show. KFI Newsroom is trying to get more information out of Calabasas. But evidently, from what I understand, somebody in Calabasas called about a domestic dispute, and I believe it was the Mountain View Estates, but don't hold me to that.
It is. It's Mountain View Estates. Yeah, this happened about 5:30.
All right. And somebody, it was a domestic, then somebody got shot, and they made their way all the way down to the guard tower or the guard gate. And then from there, they were in such serious shape, evidently, they were airlifted to UCLA Hospital. And now the L.A. County Sheriff's Department has that house surrounded. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, they have their guns drawn and they're yelling sort of toward the house, but not knowing if anyone's in there or not. They have the LAPD's been, or the deputy's been encouraging people in the area to stay in their house, lock their doors. And, you know, because they're still looking for the shooter, we're following up on it right now.
Okay. All right. But that's a very expensive place to live.
Yes. I mean, when you hear they stumbled to the guard shack, you know you're dealing with a nice community.
Right. And so we may know who that is.
Yeah.
You know, it might be some YouTuber, might be a local celebrity.
Sure. But
certainly it will not be a radio guy. I'll tell you that. It's not where radio folk live. As a matter of fact, that guard gate was built to keep radio people out of there.
That's probably right. Yeah. Most radio people live in a house the size of the guard gate.
That's right. Or most people also in radio. I bet you the guy who works the guard gate has a shift somewhere on radio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's got, you know, he's doing something over at NPR or something.
Yeah, just supplementing his income.
That's right. All right. Very good, but that's a wild story coming out of Calabasas, man. Wild. But anyway, as soon as anything comes of that, we'll have that for you. And don't forget, we also would like to thank everybody who has jumped on board already and gone to donate, either a Smart and Final or Pastathon.com for our huge, huge Pastathon this year. It will have to be virtual because, well, coronavirus, you guys know. So you can, a couple of different ways to donate. You can go to pastathon.com and go to any Smart and Final in California, Arizona, or Nevada. Donate $10 there. That'll go to provide 14 meals, which is really cool. Or you can drive by the White House. It's in Anaheim. The White House, not the actual White House, but the White House restaurant. It's in Anaheim. And they're going to take donations from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day until December 4th. But they're closed tomorrow for Thanksgiving. So there you go. Bunch of different ways to get on out there. God dang, man. All right. I've heard back here from Tim O'Donnell, who is the fireman in Station 119. And I thought it was in Diamond Bar. Mondo thought it was in Walnut, and Bellio thought it was in Roland Heights. Well, it's on the border of all three cities. So we're all right. Isn't that crazy? It's right, literally, that fire station is on the border where three cities meet.
But it's closer to Walnut.
Mondo, I'm giving you an out that it's on the border of all three cities.
But I think most of it really is in Roland Heights.
Yeah. Well, the guy who works there and who lives there and fights fires there said Diamond Bar. So if you think he's crazy, you think he's you know, a lunatic and doesn't know where he is every day, then that's, you feel free to go on the air and tell Tim O'Donnell, one of the bravest firemen in the world, that he's crazy. Go ahead, Bellio. All yours.
Not going to do that. But I would like to know what Tim O'Donnell's mailing address is.
All yours. All yours. Mondo, would you like to take a shot?
Do it, Mondo.
The brave firefighters in the world, and you guys think he's crazy.
He's not. No, he's brave.
He's very brave. Very, very brave.
Yeah, he's brave because he's in Diamond Bar brave. That's how brave he is. He's Diamond Bar brave.
Well, that's probably where he lives. But the station is in Walnut.
All right. That's station 119, L.A. County. Firefighting station 119. Well, let's take a break here. We got some more news coming up. Plus, Neil Saavedra is coming on. Neil Saavedra. Oh, an outdoor party in Beverly Crest. What's going on?
Us about the soiree taking place outdoors at a home on Coldwater Canyon Drive.
Well, could be a violation of health orders in the city of L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti had authorized the L.A. DWP to shut off power to properties that hold those large gatherings. And so far, that has yet to happen.
Ooh.
That looks like a huge, fancy party.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That is very expensive.
Oofah. It's like it's all draped and fairy lights and wow.
That's a huge party. No, I didn't see a lot of masks, but we weren't close enough to see the masks. It's in Beverly Crest. And that's the bummer of living in L.A. is that these, you know, helicopter pilots can narc you out. You know, if you lived in the middle of, I don't know, out in Mojave Desert, there's no helicopter pilots that are also news guys. They're going to, you know, tattle on you. But here, they'll fly over and report right back, and boom, all of a sudden you'll be on TV. You'll be shamed. Shamed, I said.
Isn't Beverly Crest that area where, remember, there was a big party, and they sounded the same way, flying around in the chopper.
That's
and
exactly right.
Called it out. I wonder if it's the same house.
I don't know. It doesn't look like the same house, but you're right. It's the exact same area. And so, evidently, you know, the people in that area are, you know, literally better than we are. So, you know, they don't need to follow the rules, right? Because they don't get sick like we do, like the common folk. Beverly Crest. Very good. AFI AM 640. It's the Conway program. And there's a big old party in Beverly Crest. Going against the mayor's wishes. And Beverly Crest, not part of Beverly Hills. It's part of the city of L.A. And somebody's going to be in trouble because a helicopter just flew over and spotted a big party in Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. We're going to have a party. We serve the best Bacardi. We say no to the mask rule because we're better than you. Beverly Crest. We gotta come up with some. Gina and Bellio and Angel, you guys are better at that. Mondo came up with the Bacardi line. But so it's like we're going to have a party. We serve the best Bacardi. And then after that, it needs some help. So. What is? Oh, Neil's wrong. Okay. All right, Neil Saavedra, everybody, with the Fork Report and the Fork Reporter. Neil, how are you, bub?
Hey, man. Is it Beverly Crest or is it Beverly Glen?
Well, there's Beverly Glen. And
is that by what's the difference between that and Holmby Hills?
Well, Beverly Crest is like a made-up name for that area.
Is that like Beverly Wood?
Well, no, Beverly Wood is down on the other side of it. Bel Air ends where the Stone Canyon Reservoir is.
Okay.
And then everything east of that they call Beverly Crest. And then everything east of Beverly Crest is Beverly Hills. I'm sorry, south of Beverly Crest is Beverly Hills.
Is that the Beverly Grove then?
No, it's basically Mulholland down to Sunset without Beverly Hills in it. So all those streets, the small streets that are in Beverly Hills, that's not part of Beverly Crest. But Beverly Crest is a made-up name. You're right. It was Beverly Glen. but they just made up a different name for it.
All right. Well, thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Glad we're able to solve that for you, man. Hey, I don't know what you're doing up so late. You have to be up in 3 hours.
Listen, I'm gonna let you in on a little something. Handel doesn't sleep ever. That's why it doesn't make sense.
Why you don't have to go in, too.
No. Are you kidding?
That's great.
No.
Oh, man, you can party tonight, then.
I'll be here, you know, probably barebacking on the old leather chair, you know what I'm saying? Sitting here, little brewski in hand.
Wow.
Telling people, you know, how to enjoy their 2020 Thanksgiving.
Right. And it's nice to have somebody live on the air who also knows their way around a kitchen. I don't know any other station that's doing that.
It really is fun, but it's not all. I think of it a little different. I think of it kind of like you're up, I'm up, let's hang out.
Right.
Because, you know, regardless, even if you're doing a 10-pound turkey, a lot of people, you know, you can't even find small turkeys, it seems. And I did something I never do. I went to the store today. I haven't been to the store in months. And I went to the store today to grab a few things. It was very orderly, people wearing their masks.
Right.
And there was tons of stuff, but no ham. Like, you couldn't find ham anywhere.
Really?
Yeah, and that's usually, you know, no-brainer. And I think, you know, it's smaller, tends to be smaller. But the hams were gone. And the brown and serve rolls, you know, the ghetto ones, the really, like, $2 for 38 or whatever. And, you know, they come in that little cardboard thing and you pop them in there. Those were the only things. Everything else they had plenty of. Plenty. And bigger birds. You couldn't find the smaller birds.
Well, you know what? Look, we said it here on the show. There was somebody on a local news station saying that the run on food during Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to be epic. And you better get supplies now because everything's going to be gone. And I said that kind of fear-mongering doesn't do anybody any good because, first of all, you're lying. You know, these stores have, you know, Ralph's and Vaughn's and Pavilions. They have it down. They have it. They have a system worked out. They got caught in February because they've never had to open a grocery store during a pandemic. But now they've made some adjustments like big businesses do, and they're fine. They're going to have plenty of stuff.
Yeah. Early on, you know, you have on any given moment, let's about 20, 30% idiot. No matter where you are, about 30%.
You think it's
idiot.
That low?
Yeah, I'm just for the sake of argument, about 30% idiot.
Okay.
So when you take 30% to 96% idiot in like 2 weeks, the market can't handle that. But now there's plenty of stuff. There was always every single day I went on with anyone on the station or on my own little show on Saturdays, it was, don't freak out. There's a break in the system because you have a surge of want that people don't need.
Right.
And if you don't surge, it'll be the same as any other day.
Right.
But if you surge, you're going to break the system, you know?
Well, I know that there's a food pantry in the Valley. And in the last 3 weeks, they've been overwhelmed with food that people bought in February and March and never ate, and now it's about to expire, and they want to give it to charity.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should look at Google it. Go online and see the videos of people at Target and Walmart trying to return toilet paper the first time. I don't know if people thought they were going to sell it on eBay or...
Right.
We never panicked once, and we never had to buy anything during this whole time that wasn't a normal pattern that we always did. I did stock up a little bit on coffee and booze. Right. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
that's not even a joke. That's like the real... I'm like, hey, maybe make sure we have some booze and some coffee. And then everything else, we never had to buy anything.
Yeah, I always recommend that, though. I mean, if you smoke cigarettes or if you do, you know, coke or weed or, you know, maybe whatever you're doing, you're drinking, have a supply, 20 to 30 day supply of whatever you're doing. Because if there's a 9.8 earthquake and the city is leveled, not a good week to give up smoking.
the old airplane, like, bad day to give up heroin.
Yeah, you're going to need the cigarettes on that week more than ever before.
Bad day to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to, you should always have a pretty good system in hand for the things that you think you're going to need most. I don't wait till I'm on my last, you know, life-saving kidney pill to go, maybe we should get some more of these.
Yeah, but you're not a pot smoker. The only people who put things off until the very, very end are pot smokers. I lived with a pot smoker right after college, and he would literally wait until he had like one little half a seed left, and he'd smoke and goes, oh, no, dude, I got to get some more. Where do I go? Who do I call? And he started panicking, and he did it every single time. Every
time. How many times do you think I smoke pot?
Zero.
No, three.
Really?
Yeah, three. Yeah, never liked it. It seemed like it took. What's that?
You didn't smoke weed. I mean, you tried it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've smoked pot three times. I've never had an edible because people are like, you can't gauge it. And you don't, the last thing I want to put drugs in is food. I'm like, just one more bite.
But did you get high any of those three times?
Yeah, I saw black Dobermans. I would hallucinate all three times, and everybody goes, no, that must have been laced. I'm like, three different times, three different people?
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It made me feel stupid. It made me feel stupid and slow.
Right.
Cocaine, however. always came at the behest of a beautiful blonde going, hey, you want to go to the bathroom? But still, only did that about three times. And nothing else harder. Nothing else harder. I just figure, you know, why open up Pandora's box? I'm already a little weird.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, we got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Sure, of course.
All right, excellent. All right, Neil Sylvester's with us, Fork Report. He's going to be on tomorrow all morning filling in for Bill Handel. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ranch, KFI AM 640, it's Conway's show. Those commercial breaks fly by. Neil Sylvester's with us. Neil is filling in for Bill Handel tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m. And then what will you do after that? Will you take a nap before Thanksgiving meal, or you go right into the meal?
No, here's the thing. Like, you can't see anybody.
Right.
The only people we have contact with in my family are my brother and his husband. Like, we see them more than anybody, and we don't really go out and see them much, but we see them, and they get tested all the time because of they're in the entertainment industry. So if we
does your
see
brother,
anyone,
by the way, does your brother's husband look like him?
No, like when, you know, people, they just been married for so long, they start looking like each other. No, they're both handsome guys. I mean,
right.
You know, no, I would love to be gay. I just don't have the abs.
It would be weird if you were gay and you married a guy who looks exactly like you. I think it's like a real arrogant thing. It's like, I'm so good looking, I'm going to marry somebody who looks like me.
Yeah, I wouldn't marry someone like me, male or female. Yeah. Hey, Roseanne, what do you want to have for dinner? Well, I'll just have the meat. I don't know. But, yeah, they're both handsome. It is really, listen, the 90% of my family is bald, and the one gay guy has a full head of hair, and it's real.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, he's handsome as hell, smart, funny, you know, physically fit. Shannon Farron has a thing for him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, she has a big thing for him. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
It's a safe thing.
You can have a thing for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe, you know, it's a long life. Maybe he, you know, it was just a fad for him, you know?
He may grow out of it. Yeah.
Right.
He may grow out. Might be a thing.
Right.
You know, maybe she can turn him. I don't know.
Only in L.A. do you hear of guys that, you know, they're married to a woman, then they're married to a guy, then they're married to a woman. You're like, really? What's going on there?
You know what? You think about this stuff. I get it. You got social norms and all that stuff, and people get pent up, you know, feelings about what's right and wrong. But when you think about it, the amount of time we're on this planet,
right?
It's like, who gives a rat's ass? Enjoy yourself. Don't hurt. Don't draw blood and make it consensual. Knock yourself out.
I have a friend who's super gay. He never pretended to like girls in school when he was like in kindergarten or, you know, high school or whatever. And
super gay. Did he have an outfit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm here. Don't worry about it.
Super G. And and so I asked him at a we were having lunch at a restaurant in the Valley. And I said, and he's got a brand new boyfriend. He's like 10 years younger, 20 years younger than he is. And I said, let me ask you something. We'll call him Bob. His real name's Robert. I said, when you are, you know, you're nude, he's laying down, and you're about to, you know, jump on top. Do you ever like a split second of, so I'm going to do this, huh? And he goes, that's the most insulting thing I've ever heard in my life. And well, he started laughing so hard that the waiter came over and asked us to keep it down.
Oh, hey. Well, I'm glad Max can't hear this. Hi, buddy. it's just different. I mean, I get people, you know, freaked out about different types of foods. And it's like, I'm never going to eat mustard. Well, I don't know what to tell you. You know, everyone's got their taste, and it's knock yourself out. The fact that we even care about it is weird to me.
I know. It is odd. Hey, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, will there be any, help with the turkey? Will that be the beginning of the show?
I'm day drinking. That's the only thing I can promise. Good. I will find like an Irish coffee or whatever that you want to call it. That's a legitimate way to drink in the morning. I don't know what to expect. I've been doing this for almost 10 years, I think, Tim. I have no idea what people are going to call about. If no one's coming over and you're not worried about the sides and whatever, it's like I'm going to be, hey, so you poke holes in the plastic top and you put it in the microwave.
And knock yourself out.
Yeah, and you'll be good. And, you know, I think people this year should be buying good booze. Because they're not driving anywhere. Buy good stuff that you could sip on and enjoy. And something that you really want to just indulge in. And just be thankful, man. We're drawing breath. And life has some bumps. But Jesus, man.
We're still alive.
Things are good. They really are. They're not good for everyone across the board in the sense that everybody's doing great. But we're all alive. And anytime you have another day to take another crack at it and make it better... I'll take it. I've been in.
That's great, man.
You know, I've been in it. I lost a job, my dad, and found out my first wife was having an affair within the same week and the same year. And I'm still standing.
Man, that's a book or a movie.
Oh, it was. I will tell you, it was right to the gut. But you know what? I'm still standing. You find ways to deal with it. I remember times my brothers were bringing me a Christmas tree because I was broke. Like a baby because of the we'll get through all this stuff. There's much to be thankful for, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow and day drinking and eating whatever people are cooking.
I don't know if you can hear it. That's so rude. All right, we got to take a break. Neil, really appreciate it. We'll listen to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Bob. All right, Neil, I mean, God almighty, it is so rude, Mondo, and you work with this guy, too. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640.
I will make the turkey. It's probably going to take longer than normal. It's a big-ass turkey. I'm thinking, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a dry brine on it. We'll do a dry brine on it. So this is the whole time, Tim, I've been like, boom, this is what we're going to do. It's a big-ass turkey. We're going to dry brine it. I'm going to cook it in the oven. I was planning on spatchcocking, doing it on the outside grill, but
KFI AM 640
happen. And I was like,
Conway
what?
Show.
This and is if we're going to be doing a family thing, and I don't care if it's like two people, I don't care if it's four people, it's Thanksgiving, we got to come together. You know, we've been through a lot. 2020's been heavy, but it doesn't mean there isn't things to be thankful for, and I just appreciate you giving me the time to hang out, buddy.
You got it?
Did he turn it off?
Mondo?
Hello? Bellio?
Hey! Neil? Hey. Hi. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Was that what you wanted?
Are you recording for tomorrow?
I didn't tell him his mic.
This sounds weird on my end, Mondo. I'm getting feedback, I think, from the last segment.
Oh, that's got to be it. I'll change the settings on the board over here.
You want me to go over that again?
I'll go over
the turkey stuff again.
Yeah, okay, take two.
Go over it again.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. So when you're dealing with a turkey, there's two things. You want it because poultry, pork is the same way. You want to make sure you brine it. In this case, I do a dry brine. Don't do the wet brine. I know everybody thinks it's great because it's like makes it look like you're doing a lot of stuff. But it's a waste of space in your refrigerator. It's way more complicated to do a dry brine. That's 1 tablespoon of kosher salt per 4 pounds of turkey. You want to put it liberally on the outside, tuck it under the skin, which feels creepy, maybe a little nice, and get it under there. Make sure, flip the bird over after about 24 hours or so, and then pat it dry. You don't have to wash it off or anything, and then you cook that bird, and you're good to go.
I'm sorry.
I'm hearing feedback, Mondo. Yeah. Do you want to do it again? Sorry.
It's my fault. I hit the sound effect. And one more time. We got to get clean.
3, 2. When you're doing the bird, you want to do a brine. This is for pork. This is for poultry. The key to it is it's a osmosis. Like the salt takes the juices out of the bird, puts salt in them, and then it goes back in the bird. This is called brining. And it's really big with poultry. It's really big with ham. And the key to it is it actually makes the bird stay moist and it gives flavor. You're not over-salting it. Don't do it with a kosher bird because a kosher bird already has brine in it. Or if it says pre-brined or salt solution, anything like that, you're just going to over-salt the bird. But other than that, if it's not pre-brined, any of that stuff, or in salt solution, go ahead and brine that bird. And then you're going to dry it off. Don't wash it in the sink. That's the worst thing to do. People wash it in the sink. The bacteria splashes all over everything. You've got it on the sink. Now you've got it on your clothes. It's a mess. And it just doesn't make for a good time. So don't just pat it dry with paper towels that you can throw away. And that'll keep the skin dry, which is going to make it crisp. You put a little bit of butter or a little olive oil on the side. Outside, it's going to be... I just flubbed that last part, Mondo. Do you want to do that last part again?
Please.
Let's do a pickup? Yeah.
Hold on. What word did I flub?
If you could just pick it up on spatchcock, that'd be good.
3, 2... When it comes to your turkey, though, you can do it a couple different ways. You can cook it whole, that's roasting it, or you can do something called spatchcocking. I'll pause, Tim, for you to make your wisecrack. I get it.
Ding dong!
Yeah, spatchcocking. Anyways, it's a legitimate thing. What it means is you're basically taking out the spine of the bird, and then you break the breastplate. And it kind of looks, you know, the old WKRP, you know, where they were flying the birds, throwing the birds out of the helicopter. Kind of looks like they landed. It's like a splat. And you're going to put them flat. They also call it butterflying. This is a way to cut time in half. I don't care if you're grilling it. You can do it in your oven. Regardless, both of them are going to work out perfectly. It will cut the time in half. Hold on a second. There's a police-involved vehicle collision right by me, and the citizen just went off on my phone. I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
That bled through, yeah.
Could you just edit? Can you just edit something together?
I think we can throw that together, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of editing.
That's great, though. And we'll play it, you know, at the end of the show, and then... And then you guys will have the pickup, and you can play it then tomorrow. We'll edit our version of it, and we'll send it back to you.
Oh, man. Robin just hit me up, says she wants me to do John and Ken on New Year's Day. Great. How do I become an angry white guy overnight? I got to come on, say, build the wall,
How about this as an idea? Get somebody else to do it with you. And name it Juan and Ken, and it's the Hispanic version of it.
You're lucky this isn't on the air, man. You say some crap. That if that went over the air, you've heard that. You know they call it. What do they call it? They call it Mondo. What canceling or whatever?
Cancel culture.
They're gonna. Is that what that is?
Be canceled. Yeah.
or putting you on hiatus, I think that's is what they call it in Hollywood. Right?
All right. Thank you, Neil.
All right, guys. I hope that works
that's
out
perfect.
And helps the show. I'll be
buddy.
Listening in to see what it sounds like. Thanks for editing it, Mondo.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving,
thanks,
everybody.
All right. See there he goes. Neil Saavedra.
No, bye, Bellio.
And the Fork Report in tomorrow for Bill Handel. Sorry, we needed that audio, and we needed it right now, and so we're going to do that off the air. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was going on the air. So my bad. I really apologize. But maybe you learned something.
He doesn't know, right?
Neil doesn't know that went over the air.
Oh, no. Okay.
I didn't want to tell him, though, because I didn't want to be rude.
You think that would be rude?
Yeah, if I'm like, hey, Neil, you're on the air. Man, I was nervous about that. I'm sweating. Because I was hoping he wouldn't say anything, horrible.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, Gina Grad has written the Beverly Crest song for the Beverly Crest party. And, Mondo made a good point. We only saw that party once, and we've not seen it again.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that whoever has that party also has the phone number of the news director at CBS.
I don't even see it on the website at all.
Yeah, and say, get the F off of my party. That's probably what happened. It's probably somebody well-connected in Hollywood. And they're having a party in Beverly Crest. It was on Channel 9. And now the threats of lawsuits and how dare you and F you and all of that is ruining his party. And he probably blew up the news station. That's probably what happened. All right, Gina, so this is going to be the song when we come back. Here's your version of it. Ready? Don't do the lyrics yet, but here's what it's going to sound like when we come back. Here we go. All right.
That's perfect. So two verses. Perfect.
Two verses back to back.
All right.
Beautiful. All right. I can't wait. This will be great. It's about the party in Beverly Crest that we've not seen twice. KFI AM at 6:40. It is the Conway program. And there's a huge party going on right now in Beverly Crest. They're defying the rules made up by Mayor Garcetti. But in my opinion, and we've not seen the party twice, which means that whoever's throwing it has some pull, some weight in Hollywood, and they can call the news station and threaten them. And I think that's why we haven't seen that party again on any newscast. So a huge party, probably, I don't know, how many people would you say were there? 50? 100?
Yeah. Maybe? 50, 50? 75.
Okay. All right. But definitely probably a rule-breaking party.
Was it more than six?
Looks like.
Yeah, they probably broke
them. About 50. But anyway, so we're going to write a... I was going to write a song. I'm not that great at writing songs. And Gina said she's really, really good at it.
No.
So,
no, but. No, yes, and here.
All right. So it starts with Beverly Crest. Ready? All right, here we go. All right, ready? One, two, three, go.
Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest. We're going to a party. We have some good Bacardi. Tomorrow I might be tardy because I'm in Beverly Crest. No, I don't need a mask, so please don't even ask. Just hand me your damn flask. I'm in Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest.
That's great.
Thank you. I had another
that
verse.
That worked out beautifully.
Thank you. I would love for you guys to finish this lyric for me. All I had was, I'm not afraid of COVID. When I party, I go big. And I can't think of anything else.
That's great. I only had the first verse here.
Here's what I had for the first part of the song. Let's see here. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Beverly Crest. Oh, we're gonna throw a party. We serve the best Bacardi. You won't hear us say sorry. The Streisand family. There you go.
Hey, Angel and I have one.
Oh, good. Okay. You ready?
You ready?
All right, okay. Hold on a sec. Let's get the music all queued up for you ladies. All right, here we go. One, a two, a one, two, one, three. Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest, Beverly Crest.
Going to a party and serve
the best Bacardi. Step up and do a shoddy, or I'll move you around with this crowbar.
Sorry.
That's that great, really, man. That's the best song you two have ever written together.
Oh, thanks.
It really is.
No, I think you're right.
That really is. That's great, man. That is unbelievable. AFI AM at 640. It is the Conway Show. Some warning here. If you're going to Nevada, you got to be pretty careful. This comes out of Reno. The coronavirus is spreading so fast in Nevada that one person is diagnosed with coronavirus every minute, and someone is dying of it every 2 hours. Nearly half of the state's 142,000 total cases since the start of the pandemic in March have occurred since September. Fully one-fourth of those in the month of November and 10% in just the last 7 days. They've had 10% of all their cases just in the last 7 days. That is unbelievable. That means it's exploding. So it says we have COVID-19 exploding in our community, and it's spreading rapidly, according to the health officer, Officer Kevin Dick. And he told reporters in Reno, we have exponential growth going on. While the majority of the state's cases and the 2,071 total deaths have been reported in Clark County, the most populous county that includes Las Vegas, the Reno/Sparks area in Wausau County has been hit the hardest. Quote, we have four times as many people in how's that pronounced? W-A-S-H-O-E. Wausau? 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 Anyway, they have the infections up there in Nevada, Reno area are going through the roof. So if you're going up to that area for Thanksgiving, be aware of it and be careful. It says, quote, we are at a 214% of peak Clark County experience in late July. They're at 214% of the peak that Clark County experienced in late July. That's unreal. So please be careful, right?
It's Wausau.
Wausau?
Wausau.
Wausau. All right. So there you go. Both. Anyway, so it's really tough up there.
Are they predicting that that's because of the traffic still coming in, the bottom basement room rates and the tourists that are still there?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea why it's that high just in the Reno area.
Yeah. Well, there's casinos there too.
Yeah. I mean, it's Reno and also Lake Tahoe area. And I'm not sure if people are now starting to go up there for winter and, you know, coming up from L.A. with their infections or not. I don't know. But it's bad news. It's also bad in Iowa as well. Iowa and North Dakota are having a real tough go of it as well. So just, be careful when you get out there, because there are a lot of people infected. Lots of people. All right. We have the vaccine is what we need. And the vaccine may get to the public by May or June. And it seems like a long way away, right? But doesn't it seem like just yesterday that, February and March, we were all being locked down for the first time, and we're all pissed because we didn't understand what this thing was. We're all scared to death.
And now lockdown, we're just, you know, we sort of handle that in our sleep. We don't like them, but we're much easier. It's much easier to handle them now. I think people got, you know, they got used to, you know, not seeing friends, not going out, not doing this, not doing that. And we have low expectations of everybody and everything.
Despite encouraging news about vaccines, health officials say Americans still need to be vigilant. But many are ignoring CDC guidelines to stay home for this long holiday weekend. The TSA expects 1 million travelers to pass through checkpoints just today. That would make it the busiest day at the airports since March. Many health experts say that just isn't safe until a vaccine is available, which could be next month for people at high risk, but longer for the general population.
The U.S. population as a whole should be covered in terms of vaccine doses available somewhere between the month of May and the month of December.
Wait a minute, what?
Somewhere between the month of May and the month of December.
You mean next May and next December? Get the hell out of here. I thought we were all getting the shot tomorrow or Friday.
COVID is surging in 40 states, especially in the Midwest. North Dakota has the second highest mortality rate in the world from the virus. And a hospital in Topeka, Kansas has turned its waiting area into patient rooms because the ER is already full.
Sucks. Remember when North Dakota wasn't affected at all? You know, people in North Dakota were just laughing at everybody.
It's very, very possible that, you know how we did this last time with I would probably have known someone from the synagogue. It's right. Very possible I know a nurse at the hospital in Topeka. So if so, I'd be happy to reach out.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. But that's got to be, man, talking about a long day. I bet they're doing 18-hour days.
Sure.
And going home, you know, getting a quick nap and coming back.
And that's the kind of situation where it's very possible they're not going back to their houses. Yeah. They're either doing, you know, a motel or an Airbnb just because they don't want to, you know, bring it home.
I still can't believe a million people flew today. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, that's a million people that said, you know what, I just don't believe it. I'm going to get it. And they're all going to be on a plane, some of them for, you know, 6 or 7 hours on a plane. Oof. Those are gamblers, man. I bet every one of those people on that plane has a Vegas hat on or a shirt. Because that's a tough putt, man. I don't know how you relax on a plane like that. You know, you're on a DC-10 or 777 going from L.A. to New York and just casually just talk to everybody around you. So where are you going when you get there? Empire State Building. Oh, yeah, I heard it's nice this time of year. Are there any shows? No, there's no Broadway shows because everyone's dying. Oh, okay. What's a good restaurant to eat in Manhattan?
What is that, like the way you travel across country? You just, you know, Mr. Casual? You're just like casually chatting people up?
I bet this has really deterred the seat next to you chat fest that you have across the entire, you know, country. Because once in a while, you get an old lady or an old guy who's single, not with his wife or his husband anymore, and they're going to talk to you over the entire country. I think those days are over. And I think you can shut it down, too, by just pulling the mask up a little, like over your entire face. All right, very good. That owl that they found in the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, they took back to the same area where that tree was cut down, and they let it go. It flew into another tree, and they cut that tree down, and now that tree is on its way to the Grove. So they're going to have that that little owl is going to be in on Fairfax and Beverly soon. And they're going to have to take that owl back to Montana and for the second time release him. So that's the first owl that will ever be in New York for Christmas and also the Grove for Christmas. Kind of an interesting owl. AFI AM 640, it is the Conway Show. George Norrie is coming up working Thanksgiving, huh, bub?
We're going to work Thanksgiving night. It'll be live. My deal with our KFI audience, Timmy, is to be live on all holidays.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
That's what we're going to do. And tonight, of course, we're talking about Noah's Ark on Coast to Coast.
Oh, cool. What is that?
Last 2 hours. Noah's Ark. And they're looking for the Ark on near Mount Ararat in Turkey. It's an amazing story.
I thought it was like in Alabama or something.
No, far from that.
Oh, all right. All right. That's
but you have a great Thanksgiving and with your family and everybody at KFI.
You too, man. And God bless you and your family, bub.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, there he goes. George Norrie and Coast to Coast. The greatest number and the greatest reason for opening schools up again, one is the kids, the infection rate of kids are almost zero. And number two, 80% of people in prison do not have a high school diploma. 80% of people in prison, not jail, prison, don't have a high school diploma. That tells you that if you don't educate these kids, you're going to be looking at building a lot of prisons later on. Those numbers don't lie. I mean, those are just facts. 80% don't have a high school diploma. So if you don't open these schools back up and get these kids in this school and get them an education, then you better start building prisons, because that's where a lot of them are going. So let's open these schools up, man. Come on. These kids don't get infected. These kids are, the older people get infected. So keep the adult schools closed. But open those kids' schools up. You really need to get back there, right? Their friends, their teachers, their, you know, their livelihood. You know, that school is a whole deal for them. Yeah, I will say this, though, that when schools finally do open again, that all kids are going to love going back. You know, for kids that hate going to school, getting up and going to school early, they're going to get up early, get showered, put their best clothes on, and be sitting in the car waiting for mom and dad to drive them there. Because all kids after this will be just itching to get back into school. All of them. Every one of them. There's not a single exception, right? There's no kids. I bet there's very few kids, maybe zero, that would rather stay home and do what we're doing now. They all want to get back into business and back into, you know, into class with their friends and back into class with, their teachers and their activities and the sports and all the stuff they do. They want back. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. All right. Long Beach Restaurant Association is calling for help. They are at their wit's end. They have no idea what to do. They've tried everything, and they need some help. They're calling for help. And you can't blame them either, right? I mean, it's not their fault. They've tried everything, and so far, nothing is working. You know, we for some reason can't get the attention of the supervisors and tell them how important it is that restaurants get back into business. For some reason, they're just not listening. So Long Beach is now calling for the troops in. They need some help.
The Long Beach Restaurant Association has formally requested the city health officer now go against L.A. County's order to shut down in-person dining. Long Beach has an independent health department like Pasadena, which actually voted to keep in-person dining in place there. The association claims the L.A. County decision is not based in facts from the county, only guidelines from the CDC. The Long Beach Health Department says cases there have increased by more than 120% in the last 2 weeks.
Wow, that's unbelievable, right? I mean, that truly is an amazing number. All right, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and I know that, you know, we have a huge deal tomorrow. Neil Saavedra's coming on for Bill Handel in the morning, so that'll be cool. And then Gary and Shannon are off. Who's filling in for Gary and Shannon? Mondo, do you have the schedule in front of you? Do you know who's filling in?
I do not have the schedule in front of me. Let me grab it.
All right. Just to give people a heads up what's happening tomorrow. We're not going to be in, but Mondo will be in. He decided he wanted to come in, and so he's going to be hanging out here. And don't forget the big Pastathon. That's going to be happening, and so you can go to pastathon.com and donate to Katarina's Club and to Bruno and the whole run. And that's going to be something that's really important this year, so appreciate and thank you in advance for helping out if you can.
And you know, it's going to be it's going to be Mo Killian tomorrow.
Oh, Mo. Okay.
What up, Gina?
It'll be Mo tomorrow. That'd be great. Just so we cover all of our bases, yes, technically tomorrow's Thanksgiving, but a lot of people probably aren't celebrating because they couldn't get out of town or they lost their job. And you know what? This year's a mulligan. it's just another day. If you're not celebrating, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, we're just staying at home. It's going to be me and my wife, my daughter, and we put up a tent in the backyard. And so we're just going to get a turkey and take it outside.
You guys have to go outside.
They told us to get outside.
That's good.
And then other gatherings, they say no more than 2 hours. I don't know what the hell that's such an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
There's no science behind that. You know, you can get sick in 2 minutes. It doesn't take you 2 hours.
Although, for someone like me, that is a godsend. Like, oh, well, wouldn't you know it? I mean, we don't want to overstay our welcome. Certainly don't want to with the county, so we got to run.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love to stick around, you know.
But Garcetti isn't having it.
Yeah. But the one saving grace tomorrow, and let me see if this is right first before I talk about it here. But I think I'm right here. I think there are three NFL games tomorrow. Or are there two? Sometimes there's three. Okay, there's two.
Just going to be two.
Two. It's going to be the Lions always play at home on Thanksgiving. So it's Houston Texans versus the Lions. That'll start locally at 9:30 in the morning on CBS Channel 2. And then tomorrow, the afternoon game will be the Washington and the Dallases. So Washington will be playing at Dallas, and that'll be the game starting at 1:30. And you know what sucks is that, you know, 2 years ago or last year, they ran three games on Thanksgiving. And they should have done that again this year. Because guess what? People are going to be home with nothing to do. And so that second game starts at 1:30. It'll be over by 5. And then what do you do? Start eating leftovers? So you got to try to schedule your dinner. And I don't know what time you eat, but I think the best time to eat tomorrow is like 5. You know, why make it an afternoon meal? Because it doesn't make sense. There's nobody coming over. And who the hell eats at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Then you're exhausted by 5. So we're going to just make it a regular scheduled dinner, you know, 5:30 or 6, whatever. Watch 2 football games and then eat. Sleep. There's nothing else to do. You know, the malls are closed. You can't really go out because you feel like you might get, you know, COVID. And, you know, going out shopping, is it worth potentially getting sick? No, it's not at all. It's crazy, crazy, crazy year. I hate it. But this is the hand we're dealt. So what can you do? Anyway, Mondo, happy Thanksgiving. Gina Grant, happy Thanksgiving. Bellio and your crew, happy Thanksgiving. And Angel as well. Happy Thanksgiving, crew. And we will see. And also Mark Thompson as well. And we'll catch
you and your family.
Yes, you too, and the doggies, and everybody, all your families. And we'll see you guys all back here on Monday. Have a great, safe Thanksgiving. Mondo will be working tomorrow night, so it'll be a little tiny piece of the show. Will still be here. The heart of the show will still be here.
Somebody's heart.
Sorry.
Hey, wait.
All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. Sorry, Mondo.